Morning is going to be twofold. We're going to take a look at two different topics briefly. I'm going to look at two issues that are very, very important. They're very contemporary to our day. And you're talking about them a lot if you're familiar with the day and age that we're living in. The very first issue we're going to talk about this morning is going to be the church, the death of the church. And then we're going to talk about the timeline, where we are in time in history. We're just going to try to really summarize some things. We cannot do an exhaustive study in this time that we have, of course. We have done that in the past. We've looked at the timeline of history and at length. But today we really want to look at just two main issues with the death of the church, why it's dead, how the scriptures support the fact that the church will die, and we believe we're in the time when it is dead. And as well, we're going to look at the timeline of history to see where we are in that great scheme of God's plan of the whole universe from creation till the very end. The beginning is in Revelation 17, doing a talk about the fact that the church is dead. It was always predicted that it would die back when Revelation was first written, the last book of the New Testament, when it was completed. And we're going to see that the woman in Revelation in Babylon are synonyms here for what we see as the church in its dead state finally. We're going to read Revelation 17, verse 3. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman. I want to focus on the word woman there. Sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, mystery. So this woman's name is called a mystery. It's Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. So the first thing we want to look at and focus on is the fact that the woman in Revelation 17 is also called Babylon. And it's a mystery. It's a mother of harlots. So in other words, this harlot, now you're going to use another synonym, is a whore. We would also use and see that that is used in the scriptures as well. In Revelation 17, verse 16, we see here that the ten horns which you saw upon the beast, these shall hate the whore. It's the same. It's a synonym for harlot. And shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. So we want to understand here that that whore, the harlot, mystery Babylon the Great, is going to be made desolate. And desolate is a word we're going to look at in a second and see what that means. But let's see in Revelation 18, verse 2, pick up the same theme. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great. There's the same mystery. Mystery Babylon. It's the woman, it's the whore, it's the harlot. All synonyms. Babylon the Great has fallen, has become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Take a look at that verse and see what it says there. Babylon is fallen and has become the habitation of devils. So it wasn't before that. See that? So there's a big difference there. Where the prince of the power of the air, the devil, has reign over the earth, but God has protected his church through time in many ways, even though we know that the seeds of the tares were planted from the very beginning. But it's become the habitation of devils. And then in verse 19 of the same chapter, Revelation 18, we read, and they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city. That's Babylon again, the great city, wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. For in 1 hour is she made desolate. And that term 1 hour, as we've learned, is a term of judgment. That 1 hour is not talking about just the final day of judgment, the judgment day as we've understood or thought through time. But 1 hour is also synonymous with the whole great tribulation. Because we read elsewhere in Revelation, it talks about the half an hour. Remember, there was silence in heaven for half an hour. That's a reference there to the first part of the tribulation. The whole hour being the whole great tribulation, which we understand to be 23 years. So we see here that during this hour, the great tribulation, we're not going to define it here, but that's what it is. She is made desolate. So the church is dead the whole great tribulation, all 23 years. We understand that that started at Pentecost of 1988. We understand that that's when the beginning of the tribulation began. Therefore, the church has been desolate since then. Even if you were in it till 2001, or however long you were in a church, it was desolate during that great tribulation. We're going to see in a moment. I told you the study is going to be twofold. We're going to see in a moment about the timeline of history and why it is that we're living in that day right now. Well, this desolation, what is it? What does it mean to be desolate? Desolate means you're deserted. It means there's no one around. You're joyless. You're sorrowful through separation from a loved one. That's interesting. That's one of our English definitions of desolate. You are sorrowful because of separation from a loved one. So when someone is married and their spouse dies, a proper English term to use is they're left desolate. And that's how we use the term in English. And interestingly enough, that's exactly the terminology that's used in the Greek here, meaning that it's desolate. This Babylon, this city, this whore, this harlot is made desolate. So it's separated from that loved one, which we're going to soon see, who was married to the church. Who the church was the bride of Christ. In corporate sense, it was, although we know that every believer is the bride of Christ still today and always was. But Christ leaves the church, so she's left desolate. What did Daniel say? And in Matthew 24, Jesus said the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. Remember? He said, when you see these things, turn here real quick in Matthew 24. Just read one or two verses in Matthew 24, verse 14. And we see when Jesus, the whole context of the chapter of Matthew 24 is the end of time, the return of Christ. Because the apostle said to him, tell us, Lord, in verse 3, when shall these things be, and the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? So the context of Matthew 24 is the end of the world, and Jesus answers in verse 4, and the rest of chapter 24, and if you want to look in chapter 25, is all the answer. Jesus answers the question, when shall be the end of the world? Everything he says in Matthew 24 and 25 is talking about the end of time. And in Matthew 24, verse 14, we do read, he says here, and the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come, when you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place. Whoso reads, let him understand. Now, when Jesus said this, was the book of Revelation written yet? No, it was not. So when he says here, when you shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, we're going to look at Daniel real quick and see where it's talked about. What else could we say today when we see the desolation spoken of by John the Apostle in the book of Revelation? Because that word desolate is all over the book of Revelation. We just read it a few times in chapter 17 and chapter 18. So it's also picked up in Revelation. So it's the same thing, the same concept of being desolate, left separate, sorrowful, because you're separated from a loved one. Well, Daniel said in Daniel 9:27, and just we'll read that one verse, and this is where Daniel's giving a timeline of history in a very cryptic way. And he says in 27, he shall confirm the covenant, with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate. See, because of the abominations, what was said in Revelation? The whore was full of abominations. Abominations, the same words being woven in and out Daniel and in Matthew 24 and in Revelation. And the abominations shall make it desolate even until the consummation. And when is that going to be? The consummation is going to be the very, very end of time. And that's determined shall be poured upon the desolate. So this wrath is going to be poured upon the desolate. Who was left desolate? Babylon, the woman. These are all synonyms in Revelation. The whore and the harlot, all left desolate. And therefore was going to be overspread with abominations. The abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet is the devil, Satan himself, standing in the holy place. And because of that, we see that the whore, the harlot, Babylon, the woman, is being judged. So you see, you can't deny that that is the context of Revelation is the church. Now, I'm saying that the church is Babylon, the woman, the whore. Why? Why do I make that leap? Do we have other things to prove that? Well, look at Revelation 18, verse 7. Let's just prove that quickly. Revelation 18, verse 7, and we read there, about this whore, this Babylon, this harlot, in Revelation 18, verse 17, or I should say Revelation 18, verse 7, how much she has glorified herself and lived deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her. So in other words, she's going to be tormented and have sorrow. She's going to be judged. For she has says in her heart, I sit a queen. Who's a queen next to? A king. And who's the king in the Bible? Jesus Christ. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So she has said she sits a queen. Does anybody else, does any other organization on the earth say that they're a queen? Spiritually. It's the church. The church says that they're married to Christ. Christ, we're the bride of Christ, Ephesians 5. Church believes that we're the queen. I sit a queen and I am no widow. Meaning that what? What is the church claiming? That they're a bride of Christ. They haven't died. He hasn't died. He hasn't left them. They're not desolate. Remember the word desolate in English means sorrowful because separation from a loved one? You're widowed. The church is saying, I'm not a widow. I am saying the church is a widow. The church is dead. It was left desolate in 1988. The judgment began at the house of God. And that she says, I shall see no sorrow. Well, what does God say in verse 8 of the same chapter of Revelation? Therefore shall her plagues come in one day. Remember? 1 hour, one day. These are all synonyms for the great tribulation. Death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. When is the fire going to be? When's the Gehenna fire? The last day of the earth's existence, October 21, 2011. That's when the great conflagration will occur and the burning will occur. For strong is the Lord God who judges her. So who's judging the church? Is it persecution from the world, from communism, from dictators, from the world, Hollywood, coming down hard on the Bible Belt? No, no. The judgment is coming, the Bible says here in verse 8, from the Lord God. God is judging the church. That's where we get that. I'm not making that up. That's the book of Revelation defining its terms. However cryptically, nonetheless, when we dig and ferret out the meanings of these words and tie them together with Daniel, with Matthew, and of course, so much in Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Isaiah tie into the book of Revelation, that's where we're left no other choice but to say that judgment has begun at the house of God, 1 Peter 4:17. And that's what it is. It's being judged today as we sit here and talk about it. Well, to further prove the point that Babylon is the church in Revelation and is being judged, we look in chapter 18 and verse 23 in Revelation. And look at this, because before I read it, let me ask the context of the book of Revelation, chapter 1, 2, and 3. If you had a homework assignment in an English class and you had to read the 22 chapters of Revelation, the teacher said, what's the context of the book? The first three chapters talk about one thing, and what is it? Number 7 comes into view. It's the 7 churches. The 7 churches are talked about in Revelation 1, 2, and 3. 7 is number of completion, meaning and inferring all, the whole corporate body. And God has a lot of negative things to say about these 7 churches. They're not lifted up and saying, oh, how glorious and wonderful they are. Right away, God's remonstrating over their falling away so quickly from the truth. So the churches, and how does that end in Revelation when it talks about the 7 candles? Remember in Revelation when it talks about the 7 churches? You remember that's in chapter 1, 2, and 3. And Jesus talks about the candles. And he says that the 7 in chapter 1, he says the 7 stars in verse 20 are in my right hand are the 7 candlesticks. The 7 stars are the angels in the 7 churches. And the 7 candlesticks which you saw are the 7 churches. So the 7 candlesticks are a synonym, a metaphor for the 7 churches that give light. And what does he say in Revelation 18:23? We've been talking about Babylon. And in 23 he says, the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. So the light's being taken out of the 7 churches. And Revelation is not talking about 90 AD. It's talking about the future, the end of the world. So the churches are being judged. The candle's pulled out. It's blown out. There's no more light. And then he says here, the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. Who's the bridegroom? The man is Jesus Christ. The bridegroom, I'm sorry, the bride is the believers. Hence the reason why the believers were called out of the church. Because the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride are heard no more in her. So not only did Jesus leave through the Holy Spirit, left the church and withdrew from the church at this great tribulation, but the bride herself was called to come out. And where did we read that? In Revelation 18, verse 4, I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, that ye receive not of her plagues. See that? God commands us to come out, not to stay in. The voice of the bride or the bridegroom, they will not be heard in her any longer. Hence the reason why we are claiming that the church is dead. And the book of Revelation is the book that proves it unequivocally. If you look at all the metaphors in the book of Revelation, there's no other result that you can come up with than the fact that the Babylon is the corporate church. It's not just the Catholic Church, as the Protestants used to think years ago. Because the seven churches aren't talking about the Catholic Church. The seven churches of Revelation 1, 2, and 3 are the whole body. All. That's what seven means. God created the world in 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested. Number seven is number of completeness. It's all the churches. Unfortunately, that's the state we're in, and that's where we are today. And Babylon is another name for the temple of Jerusalem, which is why God says in the end of Revelation 21, towards the end of the book, Revelation 21, verse 2, he says, and listen as I read this, why the language is used the way it is here. I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Why? What had happened? The old Jerusalem from the Old Testament was destroyed. The veil of the temple was rent in two when Christ hung on a cross. He had nothing to do with the Jewish ceremonies anymore, or the church, the synagogue anymore. The new Jerusalem, so to speak, was the New Testament church, the temple of God. But that was destroyed as far as him pulling out from it. It'll be burned with fire on the last day. And then this new Jerusalem is the body of believers. It's the bride of Christ coming out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. So you see why? Because the old one was destroyed. The old one was judged. So here we are. The church is dead. Come out of it. If you're in it today, come out of it, because it's being judged. Again, 1 Peter 4:17, judgment shall begin at the house of God. We're in that time. Now the rest of the time here I'm going to spend to show briefly that we are in the time that this book talks about. If we were saying this in 1825 and understood this, we'd say, is it happening now or is it in the distant future? But today we understand, because of the timeline, that it's now. That's why we understand 1988 started the Great Tribulation. 2011 will end the tribulation and the world. Let's transition a little bit into this end of time. The most obvious example in the scriptures, the most clear, is in 2 Peter chapter 3. And the whole book of 2 Peter 3, the whole chapter, is talking about the end of the world. And scoffers coming, where's the promise of his return? And verse 3, and where's the promise of his coming in verse 4? All things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. But they're ignorant of something in verse 5. Peter says they're ignorant of this, that the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. What event was that? When did the water perish? When did the earth perish with water? Noah's flood. Noah's flood. And I'll refer you to the timeline of history studies that we've done to prove that that was 4990 B.C., exactly, from Genesis 5, Genesis 10, Genesis 11, the clues in the Bible about timelines. The flood happened in 4990 B.C. Then in verse 7, the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store. So God's kept them since the flood, reserved unto fire, because it's going to be the fire on October 21, 2011. It's going to burn it all up, the final day. And it says here, against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. And then the Lord says he's not slack concerning his promise, but he's long-suffering toward us that not anyone should perish. In the context of all this talk about the end of the world and how it would be just like Noah's flood, when that happened, Noah's flood in Genesis 7, verse 4, God said, Noah, in 7 days I'm going to bring the flood, bring the animals, I'm going to call them to you, bring them into the ark. He gave him 7 day warning in Genesis 7, verse 4. A day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. Do the math. 7 days is equivalent to 7,000 years. 7,000 years from 4990 B.C. till the end is 2011. There's no year zero in our calendar, and we go from the B.C. to A.D. So 4990 to 2011 is exactly 7,000 years. That's why we're talking about the end of time coming in 2 years. That's why we're talking about the death of the church. It's already happened. The whole final tribulation, that whore, that harlot, Babylon, that woman in Revelation is being judged, has been judged. It would do you well to get out of the church if you're in there today still. You're here today. You recognize that. Count your blessings that God has pulled you out. What else do we see? How long was the church age? Well, it was exactly 1,955 years from Pentecost in 33 A.D. to May 21st of 1988. In 1988 was the 13,000-year anniversary of the world, and it would be followed by the 23-year Great Tribulation. Again, I turn you to the timeline of history for more detail about proving the fact that and statement I just made. But as we look at the 23 years in 2000 up to 2011 from 1988, what did we learn about the feast day that most identifies with Christ's return and judgment? Remember, that was the Feast of Ingathering, the Feast of Tabernacles, and that was where in our calendar of 2011. That eighth day of the feast was October 21, 2011. And that's why we're saying that the world will be burned up in October 21, 2011. Because that great feast is what really identifies with Christ's return. There's a lot of things that prove that as well. But our topic today is not to go through that issue point by point, but just to state it and refer to other studies if you want more detail on that. Well, how about this Great Tribulation then, from May 21st, 1988 to October 21, 2011? It's 8,553 years, which happens to be 8,400 years plus 153. What's the significance of that? Do you remember how we talked before about 84, how that number ties into the Great Tribulation? You can't get away from it. In the famine in Jacob's day, in Acts chapter 7, we read there in Acts 7, verse 11, God says, "Now there shall come a dearth. There came a dearth over all the land of Egypt and Canaan, and great tribulation." That's the proper translation of that word in the Greek is tribulation, although it says affliction here in the King James. "And our fathers found no sustenance. But when Jacob heard that there was corn in Egypt, he sent out our fathers first." How long was that famine? Remember Joseph's dream? How many years was that famine going to last?
Seven.
How many months are in 7 years? 84 months, exactly. All right, so big deal. Talking about Great Tribulation here, Jacob's time, 7 years, happened to be 84 months. We keep that in the back of our minds. We move on. Remember when Judah was destroyed by the Babylonians in the Old Testament? Great picture of the destruction of the New Testament church that is occurring today. That was from 609 B.C. to 539 B.C. until they were finally liberated. That was 70 years. So then again, we see 7 years of famine with Jacob. It was 84 months. And now we have 70 years So if it's a multiple of 10, how many months is that? 840. So now we're focusing again on 7 and 70 or 84, 840. And the number 84 is being really elevated and focused on here. Well, we're saying the final tribulation is 23 years. But that's 8,553 days, not really divisible by 84. But it is when we look at the book of Revelation and see how God ends the very end of the tribulation. The rapture will occur exactly 8,400 days from the day the tribulation started in May 21, 1988, when the church age really officially ended and the wrath of God was poured out on Babylon, the whore, the harlot, the woman of Revelation. That's exactly 8,400 days till May 21. Well, okay, what's the significance of that? Well, that's the rapture. That's when God will take his bride out of this earth. Those people that are his will be raptured to be with him. And it also happens to be the 17th day of the second month of the ceremonial calendar from the Bible. And when we look at Noah's flood, again, the likeness of the flood to the end of the world, the flood happened. Let's look at Genesis 7, just so we can prove this. Genesis 7, because I just said May 21, 2011 is the 17th day of the second month ceremonially. But what about what God says about Noah's flood in Genesis 7? In verse 4, he said, 40 days and 40 nights, there'll be great rain, and I'm going to destroy every living substance that I made from the earth. And then he says in verse 11, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, and the 17th day of the month. The same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. And look what happened in verse 16, on that 17th day of the second month. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. The Lord shut him in. What happened after that? The great rains came, and the flood, after 40 days of constant rain, destroyed every living substance from the earth. What's going to happen on the 17th day of the second month of 2011? That's going to be the day of the rapture, when the Lord will shut in all those who have been saved. His bride will be taken. And what's going to happen to those that are left behind? Are they going to have 40 days of rain? Well, no, God's not going to destroy the world by water again. We know that. He put the rainbow in the sky as a covenant. I would never do that again with water. But he's going to do it by fire. Well, what exactly is going to happen? How many days are left? If 8,400 days have transpired from the beginning of the tribulation till the rapture, there was 153 left. And it just so happens to be that 153 days in our calendar today is exactly, in 2011, from May 21 to October 21, which is the eighth day of the Feast of Tabernacles, the final day of the feast, it's exactly 5 months. Exactly. But what's the significance of that? In Revelation 9, look what we read. In Revelation 9, in verse 5, we read, and to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he strikes a man. And verse 10, they had tails like unto scorpions. There were stings in their tails. Their power was to hurt men 5 months. So in Noah's day, it was 40 days of constant rain and the flood, and they were all wiped out. In our time, 2 years from now, it's going to be a rapture after 8,400 days exactly from the beginning of the Great Tribulation. And following which, all those that were left behind that were not shut in with Christ and taken into glory, for that 5 months, they're going to be tormented on this earth, sadly. And they're going to be tormented until that great day of that Gehenna fire. I'm using the Greek term now for that, the Gehenna fire, when all of this universe will be burned up, as 2 Peter 3 tells us. It'll be a fervent heat that will melt everything and destroy everyone. So there's the timeline in a nutshell. There's the issue at hand. The church is dead. Christ's bride corporately was finally left desolate for the whole 1 hour the Great Tribulation period. We're commanded to come out of her. He said in Revelation 18:4, come out of her, my people. We're living in that day when the end is just 2 years away. Where do you stand today? Are you obedient to God's command? Are you fearful of what you read in the Scriptures? Of His wrath, of His anger that's being poured out today on His church. And even eventually the whole world with that 5 months of unbelievable torment that's given, as we see here in this language to these scorpions and this picture of great judgment that God's going to unleash on all of mankind. Make sure that you are shut in the ark, that you're taken up with Christ by crying out today for mercy, that He would be pleased, that He would have grace upon you to save you, to spare you. It's a great thing to pray. Spare me, Lord, from that great judgment that has already begun at the house of God. That when it happens across the whole universe, that I will not be here for that. That He will be pleased to have mercy on me and save me and rapture me if I'm still alive on that day. May that be the portion of every single one of you who hears and listens to this today. And me, that God would have mercy on each one of us. Amen. All right, before we close for a break, anybody have a question or comment? Lester.
When you say that the church, the whole church is that are going to be burned with fire, you know, I mean, Mystery Babylon that you're talking about from Revelation 17, 18, it's going to include all the Bible believing churches too, and that are in this judgment too.
That great conflagration, the fire of October 21, 2011, will include every single living human being who's on the earth at that point in time, including anybody in churches, synagogues, mosques, wherever they are. There's no salvation after May 21, 2011. The Lord shut him in. And after eight people were saved on the ark, there will be nobody left after May 21 who could be saved, who will be spared. So we're left with that fear.
And so that means all the families, we have to be warned and that they have the opportunity to get out.
So that's what we're trying to do today. We try to use our lives to warn others and to share the truth. That's why they're going to go to Brazil in July to do the same thing. The whole purpose of that trip is to warn people of that great conflagration that's coming and incredible wrath of God being poured out.
I was a little bit confused about 1988. Is that verse 1988? I mean that year 1988. Why come we couldn't come out in the first place when 1988?
Great question, Lester. Why did God hold that from our eyes and not realize that the church was dead? He withdrew His Spirit. We didn't find out about it and understand it until maybe 2001. Some people earlier had come out. The majority of people today who are here, for instance, came out in 01 or later. And that's the way God chose to reveal it in His time. It shows how humble we all need to walk, how meek we need to be. Because we are right in the middle of it, too.
But wasn't the Holy Spirit still in there in 1988 when this did happen?
From the Scriptures, it doesn't appear to be the case. It doesn't appear.
So the Word of God wasn't telling us that, right?
Huh?
So the Word of God from the Bible wasn't telling us that, you know.
It was always in here. Right? Revelation's always been in here about Babylon. Why people thought it was the Catholic Church, I don't know. Well, I do know. I mean, when you have an enemy, you try to fit them into ugly language that you read and see and hear. And to the Protestant churches, the Catholic Church was the enemy because they were the dominant force in Europe at that time in the Reformation. So they started to believe that Babylon the whore had to be, the blood of the saints had to be the church, the Catholic Church. But just didn't understand that because God didn't reveal it. That's all. He didn't. We're no smarter. Matter of fact, we are. I'm going to speak for myself. I'm less smart, less intellectual than many of those men in the Reformation. All of them. A lot less intellectual myself. But God didn't decide to reveal it until now. Thanks for the questions. Let's take a break. 11:30, we're going to have our last study. There is no lunch today because the meeting at 1 o'clock for the union. So we'll have our last study. We do want to make sure we start at 11:30, though, so we get done and cleaned up in time. Help yourself to some refreshments.